whosoever will, let him come.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study.
Come through the sun, come by Spirit.
Joshua chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 19. If you're new with us, we're reading the Bible a chapter a day. And today we read Joshua chapter... That was nice and loud. Love it. Joshua chapter 21 is what we read today. Tomorrow we'll read 22. Just add one every day. Pretty easy. By the end of next week, we'll have finished Joshua and we'll be four chapters into the book of Judges. And so let me just encourage you strongly to read the Bible every day, and it makes it a little bit easier if you want to read the same one we're reading. That's great. You can get some fellowship. This week, our passages, though, all seven chapters, described how they divided up the land between the 12 tribes of Israel, divided up Canaan. And in between these descriptive passages of the boundaries and the borders of the different tracts of land, there are these small little stories, these small little vignettes, like this one that we're going to look at tonight. And so let's pray, and then we'll begin our study. Lord Jesus, we're grateful to be here tonight. Grateful for your love, grateful for your grace. Grateful, Lord, that somebody took the time to share the truth with us and invite us into relationship with you. Father, we want to pray tonight for our government, for our city, for our leaders, to give them wisdom. Lord, that we would stay safe, and Lord, that we would continue to have an open door for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, to help people. Father, we pray tonight as we open your word, that you would come by your Spirit, do a miracle. Open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts. Change us from the inside out. Oh Lord, we pray. Make us like Jesus Christ. Do the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 15, verse 19, we read, "She said to him, 'Give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water.' And he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs." In this little story, the woman here is a young lady named Aksa. She's the daughter of Caleb, and this appears to be her wedding day. She's getting married to her cousin Othniel. She's inherited this piece of land in the Negev, which is down in the southern part of Israel, part of the Sinai Desert, the Sinai Peninsula, and there's not much water there. So, she's asking her dad if he would give her an extra piece of land that has a spring of water on it so that her tract of land, her inheritance, would have water. And Caleb, who's her dad, he gives her not just one, but he gives her two. Gives her an upper and a lower springs. End of story. But there's something here for us. You knew there had to be something here for us. And you're thinking to yourself, is there 30 minutes worth of stuff for here for us? There is. But let's get a little context first. A little context. Israel as a nation has entered the land of Canaan, modern day Israel and Palestine, and has begun to possess the land that the Lord gave them, defeating the people that lived there and then dividing up the land, establishing homes, farms, cities, and just living there. This story occurs near Hebron, and it probably is addressing the area in between Hebron and Beersheba in what is now known, modern day, what is now known as the West Bank, that area. Now, we've discussed this before, but it bears mention, again, because of some new people here. It's one of the common objections to Christianity and to the God of the Bible, how the Lord could order the complete annihilation of a specific ethnicity of people in the land of Canaan. They were to kill everyone, men, women, and children, all of them. It looks like a genocide. And the question is how could God order the genocide of a people based on their ethnicity? The Canaanite story, though, as we've read from the beginning in Genesis, started back in Genesis chapter 9. And there's a couple of things that would be helpful to know before rushing to a judgment about the God of the Bible and this apparent genocide. One of those is to track the history of the Canaanite people. Again, started with a man named Canaan, first found in Genesis chapter 9. And then that story progresses and continues. We find that their society and their culture, they ended up in that land that we call Israel, Palestine today, and that their society and their culture became wicked and perverse more than any other land, people, culture, society in the earth at that time. God lodged two accusations against them. One was that they were offering their children alive as a sacrifice, burning them in the fire to a false god. It's deplorable. Archaeology has uncovered thousands of these little statues, and they were the image that they would use, and they would lay their children in the burning red arms of this false god, and they would be burned alive in worship to this false god for prosperity, for economics. That was one of his accusations against them. The second one was that they were not taking care of the land. They were not treating the land, the environment, the natural resources the way that it should be treated. And for those two reasons, he had decreed judgment was coming. They would be removed from the land. It wasn't that God was not patient. It wasn't that God did not give them witness or warning. He brought the father of faith, Abraham, to come and to live among them. And Abraham did not live a quiet life among the Canaanites. He was famous among the Canaanites. Everybody knew who Abraham was. And they knew who Isaac was. And they knew who Jacob was. And they lived there. Hundreds of years passed by in the patience of God, in the long-suffering of God, and then it was a very, very slow takeover of the land of Canaan. Why is that? Plenty of time to repent, plenty of time to change. We read in the story about Rahab 2 weeks ago and how she saw it coming 40 years in advance, and she made the decisions that she needed to make in order to turn and to avoid judgment, to live. This week in our reading, we read about the Gibeonites recognizing the judgment that was coming and making a decision to do something about it and save their lives, knowing that they were ready to be judged. And of course, reading all this, how that God had judged their society and their culture and wanted it put to an end. How that the Lord was the one that actually gave them victory over their enemies. God was the one from the battle at Jericho all the way down to the five kings, five armies coming against the Israelites, and he made the sun stand still for an extra day. He is the one that was definitely, without a doubt, behind their efforts. Yet, however, the Lord was very clear in warning the Israelites and saying, listen, if you adopt their same ways, if you adopt their same way of living life, I'll kick you out of this land too. Justice must prevail. So, there's a heavy warning there. More to be said about that topic. But there's this other side of it where we see the parallels to our day and to our culture and our society, and we wonder, how long will the Lord withhold his judgment as we take advantage of the most weak and the most vulnerable and the most helpless in our society, sacrificing them on the altar of economics? How long will he hold back his judgment as we take advantage of the natural resources that he's given us? It's an awesome thing to think about. But that's not our topic tonight. We're looking at this little story about a young bride on her wedding day and her request for springs of water for her inheritance from her dad. Caleb, her dad, was a man's man. Back at the end of chapter 14, we read he was 85 years old, and he came up to Joshua and he says, "I'm as fit and as vigor as I was 40 years ago. And there's a certain piece of property I've been thinking about for 40 years. When we and you came and spied out this land, it's got giants in it. It's full of fortified cities. And you give me the word, and it's mine. I'll take it. I don't care, I'm 85. The Lord's with me. We're going to win." And Joshua said, "I ain't going to stand in your way, buddy. Go for it. Go for it." And we read the story. Caleb did it. Caleb went right up into that city that was named after a giant. And he conquered it. Drove the giants out. Felled the fortified cities. And he took up residence there. And then he didn't stop there. He went down to the next city. He's like, "There's another one right there. And one of these fortified cities. Well, let's take that thing down. Let's take it." And he decides, "I don't have to do this all myself. Let's let the young guys at it." He said, "I'll tell you what, guys. Anybody that takes that city, I'll give you my daughter Aksa in marriage." Caleb's cousin, Othniel, probably been watching Aksa all his life. Said, "Here's my chance. I'm going for it." Goes down there and conquers the city. And Caleb said, "Attaboy, attaboy." Gives Aksa to be married. But Aksa, she's now married to this strong warrior, has her portion of the inheritance, the land of the Negev, but she knows, man, it needs water. And so she asked for her dad for some additional land with some springs of water. It seems like this no big deal story until you realize how unique it is in the midst of all the other little stories throughout this little portion of Joshua. For instance, flip forward with me, Joshua chapter 17, and look at verse 14. Joshua chapter 17, and look at verse 14. Here's what we read. It says, "Then the people of Joseph spoke to Joshua." Who's the people of Joseph? Two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. Those were the two sons of Joseph. Sometimes they're called the tribe of Joseph or the people of Joseph. Sometimes they're called by their two names. Little trivia, there's 13 tribes. But you'll never see a list of 13. You'll always see a list of 12. One's always missing from the list. Little trivia. People of Joseph spoke to Joshua saying, "Why have you given me but one lot and one portion as an inheritance?" He's complaining. "Although I'm a numerous people." Look at all these people we got here. "Since all along the Lord's blessed me." We're blessed. And Joshua said to them, "If you're a numerous people, go up by yourselves to the forest and there clear ground for yourself in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." The people of Joseph said, "The hill country's not enough for us. Yet all the Canaanites who dwell in the plain have chariots of iron, both those in Beth Shen and its villages and those in the valley of Jezreel." If you go with Alan next year, you'll go to Beth Shen. It's pretty cool. Side point. "Then Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, 'You're numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one allotment only, but the hill country shall be yours, for though it is a forest, you shall clear it and possess it to its farthest borders. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron and though they are strong.'" What did it say? He said, "No." That's what he said. He said, "No, you're not getting an extra piece of property. You need to explore and to possess and to conquer all of your inheritance. Don't let that hill country scare you. Bunch of work, just some work. Get up there and fell them trees. What about them chariots of iron? Strap your sword on and go down and conquer it. You're a numerous people. Get at it. That's basically what Joshua is saying. So we compare that to the story with Aksa, and Caleb could have turned around and said, hey, listen, I don't know what you're complaining about. I just gave you the Negev. Get to it. But he didn't. He gave her the spring of water. So this is how unique this story was. Now, we need a little parallel here because you're like, okay, well, you know, this is all Old Testament, Andy. What's the parallel here? Here's the parallel. You need to see this. Keep your finger in Joshua. We'll be back. Go with me to Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 1. Recognize that the key word here in all of this was inheritance. This was their inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1, look at what we've been given in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 11. Here's what we read. In him, that's Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. You might want to underline that if it's your Bible. If it's one of our Bibles, don't do that. Get your own Bible. Mark up your own Bible. It's wise to mark up your own Bible. That way you can go back and find it. Inheritance. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, that's Christ, you also, hey, that's me, that's you. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, that's believed in Christ, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What did he just say there? He said, well, number one, you have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. The guarantee of your inheritance is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to possess all of it here on earth. There's part of it that is reserved in heaven. Keep reading. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Hey, we've heard about Calvary Fellowship, even up here in heaven, and we're writing this to you. No, it's not true. But he is here about the Ephesians, and this, the word of this church is getting out about the love and about the faith. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Think about this for a second. Paul is praying for them to receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Clue in for just a second. That means I, or you, could pray for somebody else to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Andy, what are you saying? Well, if you're married, you could pray for your spouse to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you're a parent, you could pray for your kid. If you've got parents that don't know the Lord, you could pray for your parent. You could pray for your roommates. Andy, would God answer that prayer? Well, Paul's sure praying it like he would answer it. Keep reading. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. I didn't even know I had eyes on my heart. Eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Stop right there. If you want to read further, you got to read on your own. This is my time. You read the rest on your time. I'll tell you why in a minute. But anyway, here's the point I want to make. The point I want to make is we have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. This isn't, some of us think, oh, I received Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, and now I go to church. And that's pretty much it. No. You have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. Well, Andy, what does that look like? Well, I don't know what yours looks like. Well, what do you mean? Well, go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 18. Joshua chapter 18. Look at verse 2. By the way, I didn't read them, but you can go look at that word inheritance as far as a Christian. You can see it again in Colossians. You can see it again in 1 Peter. You can see this little theme throughout the New Testament. You have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. Joshua chapter 18, verse 2, there remained among the people of Israel seven tribes whose inheritance had not yet been apportioned. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? I love the New King James. It says, how long do you intend to wait until you go in and take possession of it? Then he says, provide three men from each tribe, and I'll send them out that they may set out and go up and down the land. They shall write a description of it with the view to their inheritances, and then come to me. They shall divide it into seven portions. Judah is going to continue in his territory. Joseph will continue in their territory. And then you shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the description here to me, and I'll cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. That's how they were supposed to divide it up. They were supposed to cast lots for it, trusting that God would make the lot turn the way that he wanted it to turn and everybody to end up with the piece of property that he wanted them to end up with. Now, something you should know. The land of Israel is a fascinating piece of geography because it has a sample of every kind of geography in the world is represented in Israel. You say, Andy, seriously? Yeah. They have a mountain that's covered in snow and ice all year long. They have a desert. They have fertile land that's like prairies and, you know, that kind of thing. They have mountains areas. One thing that they have more than anybody else is rocks. They got rocks everywhere. They have some parts of geography that are not found anywhere else in the world. The Dead Sea, where you can actually fly a plane under sea level. Crazy. How high were you flying? I was actually flying 6 feet below water. 6 feet below sea level. Anyway, so very unique. Coastline, desert, river. I mean, the whole thing is all represented there. So all these pieces of property were completely unique, completely different, and all apportioned by the Lord. Hey, listen. Maybe that's you. You had no clue that there was an inheritance in Jesus Christ. And the Lord would say to you tonight, how long are you just going to sit there? Get out and explore it. Explore what? Well, maybe the last half of Ephesians in that prayer might be a great place to start. Maybe that reference in Colossians chapter 1 and then again in Colossians chapter 4 and maybe 1 Peter chapter 1 where he's talking about the inheritance. Maybe that would be a great place to start and to say, well, what is that inheritance? Is it all just in heaven or is there something else here on earth that's a part of this inheritance of Jesus Christ? Well, you should explore it. On that point, can I show you something interesting? Back in Joshua chapter 15, look at verse 63. Joshua 15, 63, tail end of that chapter. This is Judah's apportionment, and it says at the end, but the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, could not drive out. So the Jebusites dwell with the people of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. The Jebusites and Jerusalem didn't get defeated until hundreds of years later when David became king. And he's the one that finally conquered Jerusalem and it became Israel's capital. Here's what needs to be pointed out. Prior generations of faith had not possessed all that was available to them. Andy, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Your parents and your grandparents may not have accessed all that God wanted to do. You say, Andy, how would I know? How would I know if there's more for me? How would I know that there's something that is even generational that I could break and receive more of the blessing of God? How would I know? The only way you're going to know is by being a student of God's word. He's the one that has set out the boundaries and the borders. And it's only by knowing where those boundaries are, knowing where those borders are, and exploring every part of it, conquering every part of it, possessing every part of it, having the faith to drive out the giants out of every part of that, having the courage to chop down all the trees that are part of that, having the wisdom and the faith and the intestinal fortitude to go up against the iron chariots that have always been there over generation, over generation, over generation, and saying, no, that's actually part of our inheritance, and I may be 85 years old, but the Lord is with me, and we're going for it. How long will you put off going in and taking possession of your inheritance? That's not Axa's situation, though. She's explored it. She knows what's there. And she knows what's not there. She knows there's no water there. She's not complaining about it. She's on her way to possess it. And she just asked her dad, would you give me a blessing? Would you give me springs of water? And he doesn't give her a spring of water. He gives her a double portion. Listen closely. Maybe you've caught a glimpse of what your inheritance looks like. And it's different and it's unique for every person here. Some people get to live by the seashore. Some people get to live by the river. Some people get to live up at the mountain where there's snow all year round. Some people get to live down near the Dead Sea, and it's just different. It's different. One phrase that's repeated around our house every day. Hey, can I tell you something? Yes, Dad, what is it? Life, and then they repeat it, is not fair. Maybe your portion looks like a desert. Sandy, what do you mean? Married people sometimes look into the future and they go, oh man, this is going to be tough. My inheritance is to be married to this person the rest of our life. Oh Lord, would you bless me? Would you give me a spring of water? Single people sometimes look off into the future and they say, oh man, what if this is my inheritance? To be single the rest of my life, serve the Lord. Well, it looks like a desert to me. I'm not going to complain about it. In fact, I'm going to get on to possessing it. But Father, would you bless me? Would you give me a spring of water? Parents looking at their kids going into the teenage years, going into the 20s, and they can see it. They say, Lord, there's hard times ahead. There's dry times ahead. Lord, would you bless me? Would you give me a spring of water? People in recovery, looking at that life of holiness, saying, man, it doesn't look to me like there's any life in the future. I don't see anything growing. I see everything dying. Lord, would you bless me? Would you show me and give me a spring of water in the middle of this desert? Someone might be looking at the Lord's way of sexual purity. And saying, Lord, Can you open up a spring of water? Listen, you can live in the desert quite well. In fact, better than other places on the earth if you're next to a spring of water. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls because they were in the desert. Some stuff's just better out there. You could be looking at any number of the things. You could be looking at forgiveness. You can be looking at God's way with money. You could be looking at being vulnerable. You could look at a life of serving and of humility. You could be looking at unjust suffering, confession, restitution, and saying, Lord, if that's what you have for me, I'm willing. I'll go and possess it. But would you bless me? Would you add on to this tract of land a spring of water? Judges chapter 3. I want to show you something. Judges chapter 3. We'll read this on Friday. Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. Skip down to verse 4. They were for the testing of Israel, to know whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So the people of Israel lived among all these various people. What's the point of the passage? The point of the passage is this. Every generation has a unique situation, not only with the land that they're to possess, but each generation has leftovers from the generation before. Andy, what are you saying? What I'm saying is listen, we can't be the kind of people that just sit and take whatever it is that's been given to us from before. We need to be the kind of people that are searching the scriptures and we're looking to see, Lord, do what you did in my parents' day for sure, but Lord, do something new, do something greater, do something broader. Show us the full extent of what you want to do in this day, in this time. I believe the Lord can do that. I believe the Lord wants to do that. Let's go back to the spring of water for a minute. You remember Jesus' words? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. My good friend, the Baptist preacher back in Florida, had this text. He said, it doesn't say trickles. It doesn't say little bitty drops every once in a while. It doesn't say God will give you a little thumb dropper and about once every 3 years you'll get a drop. It doesn't say that. It says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's not flat water, that's Perrier. That's San Pellegrino, baby. It's got life in it. Little juice goes good. You hear what that text is saying? If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What is Jesus saying? I'll give you a spring. and I'll put that spring on the inside of you, and it'll bubble all the time. You know, part of your inheritance, well, let me finish reading that, because he keeps going. He says, now this he said about the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. That's good stuff. Now, you know, part of your inheritance as a Christian is being able to ask your Father for things. You know that, right? One of those things that you can ask is for the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus says. Luke chapter 11. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Here you go, kid. Take a snake. If he asks for a sunny side up egg, will you give him a scorpion? Here, chew on this. No dad does that. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? You might want to write down the reference. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. And look it up in all the translations to see if it all says that in all the Bibles. And it does. It's the truth. Here's another one. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. He won't receive anything from the Lord. That's James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6 and 7. You can ask for wisdom. Hey, listen, listen, listen. You can ask for wisdom tonight. And if you ask in faith, he'll give it. He'll give it. He's not holding back. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants you to receive all of the inheritance. I got one more for you. Say it if you know it. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete, may be full. John 16:24. That's one of the verses we memorize in the discipleship course from Navigators 2:7. One of the first ones. What does that mean? I can ask for anything in Jesus' name, and he's going to hear my prayer. You know what part of the inheritance is? Is grace. You remember the Apostle Paul? He tells us in 2 Corinthians that he had a thorn in his flesh, messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, and he asked the Lord to remove it. That's a lot like AXA. Lord, would you just remove this? Would you just bless me and remove this? And the Lord said to him, I'm not going to remove it. What did he say? My grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? My grace is more powerful than the pain. Grace, part of the inheritance of a Christian. Have you explored all of the reaches of his grace? Or is there a couple giants, a couple trees standing in front of it? Don't you find it wonderful? In the midst of all these boundaries and borders of land, that there's a little story of a daughter asking her father for a spring of water, and her father not just giving her one spring, he gives her a double portion. Isn't that glorious? No wonder this story made it into the narrative. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's explore that. Amen. That's Luke chapter 12, verse 32. The question is how do I receive the inheritance? How do I receive that inheritance? Well, you receive it by faith. You receive it by believing. You receive it by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. That he, on the cross, bore your sin, all of it. He bore your past sin, he bore your present sin, and he has borne your future sin on the cross. Why is that? Because he loves you. And he wants to give you an inheritance in him. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Sandy, how do I receive that? It's a prayer. It's a prayer in Jesus' name. It's a prayer in faith in Jesus. And it simply says, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need your forgiveness. Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me of my sin? And would you help me to live for you the rest of my life? It's that simple. I want to know you. I want to know you. The Bible says that if you pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit, you pray it, and you pray it honest, and you pray it sincere, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will visit you in your heart, and he will seal you. And it will be the guarantee that you have an inheritance. He'll change your life. He'll change your life. Most of us wouldn't be sitting here unless it was true. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you to do that today. Do it tonight. If you have questions, ask them. Don't leave tonight without securing your eternal inheritance. Amen? But for the rest of us, most of us, we're Christians, and we may need this fresh reminder that we can ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for wisdom. Ask for anything in Jesus' name. It's part of our inheritance. And some of us might need a little kick in the to get out and explore. Maybe we haven't seen it all. Maybe our parents haven't seen it all. Maybe our grandparents haven't seen it all. And God wants to do something special in our day. Maybe he wants to take Jerusalem. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this little story. Thank you for Aksa and for her faith. Thank you, Lord, for Caleb and what a picture he is of you. A double portion. Lord, some of us here tonight are in that place of looking into the future and it seems like a desert. Lord, they really do need a spring of water. Father, would you hear their prayer in a special way tonight? And Lord, would you grant them a double portion? Even as they ask in faith, looking to you. Father, we love you. We're looking forward to seeing you face to face very soon. Maranatha. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by the Spirit. Find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. Yeah, 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 yeah.